It's Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Of all life, free of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything therein. Hallowed be thy most holy and righteous name. Father, we come before you right now. In the precious and most holy name of Jesus. Father, we come with praise, adoration, and thanksgiving, knowing that you're God, and that you're God all by yourself. Knowing that it's in you we live, we move, and we have our being. Knowing, Father God, that our times are in your hand. Father, we just come thanking you and praising you. But this is another opportunity, Lord God, to gather into the house of prayer, to call upon your most holy and high name. Father, we cry out to you right now. Lord, we desire that your glory, Father God, would fill this place today. Father God, that your power would be demonstrated in this house. Father God, that no heart, Father God, would go untouched today, Father God. That life would be changed, that soul would be saved. Father God, that you would heal, deliver, and set free. Lord, that your anointing would rest in this house today, Lord God. And because of that anointing, Lord, we ask that every yoke would be destroyed. Every burden would be removed, that you would lose the captive in this house today, Father God. We know who the Son set free is free indeed. Now, Father, have your way. Father, be glorified, magnified, and exalted in all that is done. And then, Father, I ask right now, Father God, that I would decrease, that you may increase. Father, help me to sit down, that you may stand up. Let your anointing, Father God, fall fresh in this place. Move in the midst of your people, Father God. Father God, we ask that you would touch, Father God, every place, Father God, that may be broken. That you would bind up a broken heart. Father God, that you would, Father God, lift up a bowed down head. Father God, you know the needs of these your people. Lord, in your promises, in your word, that you would supply every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Christ Jesus. So Lord, we know, Father God, that you spoke it, you will bring it to pass. We're fully persuaded, Father God, that everything that you promised, Lord, that you're able to perform. Now have your way in this place today. Father God, that we'll be ever so mindful to give you the honor. Lord, we'll always give you the glory. And we will continue to give you the praise. It's in Jesus' holy and highly exalted name. We pray this in every prayer. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah and amen. Let's give God some praise in the house today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you'll turn your Bibles with me to Acts, 22nd chapter.
Amen.
We're going to read a few verses. We're going to begin with, let's begin with verse 7 and read through 15. Acts 22nd. Verse 7 through 15. We're all there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's read that together. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told to thee all things which are appointed to thee to do. And when I could not see the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devoted man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, and thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou be a witness unto all men
of what thou hast seen
and heard. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May the Lord have blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all the doers of his most precious and soul-saving word. First of all, giving all honor to God, to Jesus Christ my Lord, to the Holy Spirit, my God, to the honorees, the shepherd of this house, First Lady, Pastor Eton, Sister Eton, honor to my wife, to these fine ministers on this pulpit, to the deacons, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm humbled, first of all, that of all the people that Pastor Eton could have chosen to come and stand on this, his day. We know it's the Lord's day.
Yeah, right.
But this is a day that you set aside to honor your pastor.
Amen.
I'm humbled that he chose me to come. I don't count it lightly.
No.
I thank God for the privilege. Every time I get to come home and stand before my church family, because it always shows me where it all begun.
All right.
This is where it all started.
Yeah.
I know a lot of y'all that saw me outside of here wouldn't believe that this is where it started. I know you thought it started over there on Hickory Street and one of those other places, but no, this is where it started.
All right.
This is where it all started. All right. Yeah, this is where the foundation was laid. And I thank God for all of those names that are on the windows, who helped to lay the foundation. For those that aren't on the windows but were praying, that knew that God was a restorer. That knew that God was a deliverer. That knew that God was more than able. From the uttermost. To draw. I thank God for everything I experienced here at this house. For the Amaries and those that took us in RA meeting and tried to plant a seed in us that would get us through. I thank God for all of that. I thank God for Miss Gladys. I thank God for Miss Willie Mae, Miss Ellamy, all of those that had a part in our raising and making sure that we knew something about
Yeah.
God.
All right.
Who he was and what he was able to do. It wasn't like it is now.
Yeah.
See, these I'm talking about stayed on their knees all the time. They didn't have cars, so they wasn't praying on the way to work.
Yeah.
But over in the midnight hour, they was crying out to the Lord.
All right.
And the Lord proved himself faithful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm living proof that God is faithful.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm proof that the Lord is faithful. Now, thank God for Bethlehem.
Yeah.
I thank God for Pastor and Sister Eton. I love you guys. I do, because you've been nothing but great to me.
Yeah.
These deacons, I love you.
Yeah.
This is my church home, regardless of where I am right now.
Yeah.
I bring greetings to you from Community Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Richard H. Gaines.
Yeah.
I thank God for just this privilege to be able to stand before you today. I won't be before you long. God has given me a few things, and I just want to share.
All right.
In our passage of scripture here, we're going to look back at verse 10. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said unto me, "Arise and go unto Damascus. And there I shall be told thee all the things which are appointed for thee to do." 14th, and he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth." 15. "For thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Now in this passage of scripture, Paul was defending himself against the Jews.
Yeah.
They said that he had been preaching contrary to the law.
Wow.
Right.
They also said that he had defiled the holy place by bringing Greek people into the house of God.
Yeah.
So Paul was recounting his experience on the Damascus Road, the experience of his conversion.
Yes.
When the bright light knocked him off of his beast, and he saw the glory of God. Verse 14 saying, "The God of our fathers." He's recounting what Ananias had spoken to him when God told Ananias that Paul was there and he was praying. God told Ananias to go and pray for Paul that he may receive his sight.
Right.
And Ananias asked him, "Do you know who this is?"
Yeah.
We heard some bad things about this joker.
Yeah.
And God told Ananias, "Arise, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles, before kings, and before the children of Israel."
Yeah.
I want to talk to you just a few minutes on this topic. Selected with a mission.
All right.
And sent with a message.
Oh, Lord.
Selected with a mission and sent with a message. Now first, let's go back to Paul being chosen. Now, I'm thankful. I don't know about you. Some of you probably just been right all your life. But Ananias didn't want to go. He didn't want to go because he didn't think Paul was worthy. He thought Paul had done too much in the past to ever be coming to the kingdom, let alone be used by God. But I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that man don't get to decide who God calls into the kingdom. I'm also thankful that man don't get to decide who God chooses to use. And for those of us that may be like Ananias, God let him know that you don't get to make that call in your self-righteousness. Because Paul told him that the Jews have a zeal,
but not
according to knowledge. They wanted to be right, but they didn't know enough about God to get right. They were talking about the God of law, but he wanted them to experience the God of grace. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I know the God of grace. Because if justice would have had his way, I wouldn't be standing before you today. God is a merciful God. And Paul wanted them to understand that. Now, our sermon selected with a mission. Really, our mission is just an assignment. Just a charge, a work that God had them to do. A message is a communication sent by one person to another.
Well.
Now, our theme scripture says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent?
Well.
Now, how can they
here without a preacher.
Well,
a preacher is one that proclaims the word of God. Who speaks the word of God? One who hears the word from the Lord.
Yes.
And then relay that word that he heard.
Yes.
When we think about Bible preachers, the first ones we think about are those 12 that Jesus called.
All right. Yes.
We know that they weren't all holy. They weren't all righteous. They weren't all clean. But what we do know about them is that Jesus selected them, knowing everything he needed to know about them. That not only did he select them, but he taught them. He empowered them. He commissioned them for a great work. And then he sent them. Go ye therefore into all the world, teaching them to observe what things soever I command you, and lo, I'll be with you always. Once he commissioned them, the Bible says that he saw two fishermen, Peter and Andrew,
right?
And they were casting their net. And Jesus called them, said, follow me. He called these fishermen.
Yes.
Not he didn't go to the synagogue looking for the priest. He called two fishermen and said, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Will make you evangelists. They were selected to preach. Their mission from the beginning was to proclaim the word of God. God had been calling men to speak down through the ages. And God was not only calling them, but he would equip them. He empowered them. He anointed them. He took them and he assured them that you go and do what I told you to do. You be my mouthpiece and I'll be with you. That you don't have to worry about doing this alone. Not only am I sending you, but I will go with you. He appointed them for a mission, for a work. You remember Moses? Moses was hiding out in the desert because he had murdered an Egyptian. But the Bible says that he looked up. God revealed himself in a burning bush. And Moses looked and saw this sight. And Moses declared, I will turn to see this sight. And the Bible says that God said when Moses turned to see, that God called him. And God told him to come unto him. And he called him Moses. And Moses said, here I am, Lord. God took Moses in and had a mission for him.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to send you to bring deliverance to my people. I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, release my people. But I also want you to go to my people. And I want you to tell them that I have seen their affliction. I have seen their oppression. Moses said, well, who should I say send me? He said, tell them I am. That I am. That I am sent you, Moses, a murderer. God had just selected to be his vessel and sent him. What about Isaiah? The Bible says, Isaiah said that when you're the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted up and his train filled the temple. Isaiah had a vision of the Lord. Isaiah went into the heavenlies. He saw the worship taking place. He said that they were saying, holy, 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 the Lord God of hosts. Isaiah said when he witnessed that, he said, woe is me. For I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. He said, because I have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Once he had come away from keeping his eye on man, he was able to see the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He saw God for who he was. And being in the presence of a righteous and a holy God, he realized how filthy and dirty he was. But the Bible said God didn't hold that against him, but he sent the seraphim to take the coal off the altar, place it on his lips and say, this has touched thy lips. Thy sin has been forgiven. Thy sin has been purged. Thy iniquity has been forgiven. When Isaiah heard this, he had been cleaned up by the Lord. Now he's a usable vessel that the Lord taught. He said that he heard the Lord say, who shall go? Who shall we send? Who shall go for us? And Isaiah spoke up and said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Isaiah volunteered for the work. But the Bible says the very next work, he said, go. And tell this people. As soon as he cleaned him up, as soon as he got him ready, after he had commissioned him, he sent him to do a work. He gave him a message. Go tell these people. Pastor talked a few minutes ago about Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before I brought you forth, I had sanctified you. I had already set you apart. I had already ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. And he said he took his hand and put it on Jeremiah's mouth. And when he touched Jeremiah, he said, I put my word in your mouth. He selected him, and then he gave him the message. And he said, now go cry into the ears of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
See, God calls.
Mm.
He selects.
Yeah.
And then he sends.
Yeah.
So we say that how shall they go unless they be sent? After being selected, he told him to go. Go in here. See, God is the sender.
Yeah.
He sends a servant that he selects, equips, prepares, and empowers.
Yeah.
He also sends the method, the word that will incite faith in the hearer.
Yeah.
Persuading him to believe and to call upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because that will result in salvation for the one that is calling.
Yeah.
And the Hebrew writer said that without faith it is impossible to please God.
Yeah.
For to come to him, you must first believe that he is. That he is what? That he is whatever it is you need him to be. You can't come to him for healing if you don't believe he's a healer. You can't come to him for deliverance if you don't believe he's a deliverer. You can't come to him for provision if you don't believe that he is a provider. You can't come to him for salvation unless you believe he's a savior. You've got to believe not only that he is, but that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Faith with the word.
Yes.
If you mix faith with the word, not only will it bring salvation, but the word will also bring healing.
Yes.
It will also bring deliverance. It will also bring loosen us from the power of sin.
Yes.
It will also bring comfort in the time of sorrow.
Yes.
It will always bring peace in the time of storm. But faith has to be added to the word of God. But we have to receive that word first. We have to trust what God has spoken. We have to receive the message that the man of God brings.
Yeah.
God sends his word, whatever word it is we need. Not only does he send a word of hope, for the hope is a word of joy, but he also sends a word of rebuke. Nobody wants to hear that. He also sends a word of reproof. He also sends a word of correction. He will send a word, instruction to righteous. But we have to know that all the word, because when the prophet spoke, they said, thus saith the Lord. They wasn't standing up saying nothing that they thought of themselves. The word that they brought was the word that God sent, because God knows what word that's needed in this house. God knows what word he has given the man of God for this house, to bring to this house.
Yeah.
He knows what. You have to understand that the Bible says that he gave gifts unto men.
Okay.
He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
Yeah.
That we may all come to the unity of the faith, for the perfecting of the faith. That this man is a gift that God has given. So you know how you treat a gift. That's the way you need to be treating this man. That's the way you need to be treating him, because God has given him. God has placed him here. And that's the way he needs to be treated. But let me understand that. Let me tell you that it's not just the preachers.
All right.
They were selected by God.
Well,
because God called Abraham.
Well,
and God took Abraham
and
he established the people.
Mm.
He selected Abraham, built a nation through him,
yeah.
Took them to be his people,
yeah.
Sanctified them,
well,
set them apart,
yeah.
Restored them back to right standing, gave them rules to live by,
yeah.
Made them a covenant people,
well,
a people with a binding contract that he initiated through Abraham,
yeah.
Making them a people of promise,
well,
chosen to take the love of God to all mankind, so that restoration would come back into the whole world.
Right.
But they refused to do that.
Right.
They would not take the thing that God had called them to do.
Right.
They refused to go. So that's when God brought the church in.
Right.
That's when God initiated the church.
Right.
He brought them in and engrafted them into that natural branch.
Right.
His elect, his chosen, and may give them the opportunity, the responsibility of taking the love of God to a dying world.
Yeah.
We're called as individuals with a purpose.
Yeah.
None of us are called into the kingdom just to sit in a pew.
Okay.
We're all called by God for a work to be done.
Yeah.
The work we're doing here is just church work.
Yeah.
But the work of the church is outside of these walls. The Bible says that we're called to walk in holiness. We're called to walk by faith. We're called to live in righteousness.
Yeah.
So that our living, but we'll draw others unto Christ. John 6:65 lets us know that if you came to God, that he called you. He said, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him.
Yeah.
Called him for a purpose.
Yeah.
Jesus said, what is the purpose? That you are a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
That you are a holy nation, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, called to show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah.
Jesus said that you are the light of the world, but let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. We are to live in such a way that God gets the glory.
Yeah.
Remember John the Baptist, the Bible said there was a man sent from John that he came to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness of the light. John lived in such a way that they accused him of being the light. They wouldn't ask him, are you the light? And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away. John let him know, I'm not the light, but John had enough light in him that he was able to point the light out. That's the word, what you're called to do. As a child of God, you ought to be living in such a way that somebody can see the light, that somebody wants to know what is that light that's shining in you. That's what we're called to do as a body of believers. He went on to say here that Paul said that it's not the title. It's not the preacher's title. It's not the evangelist's title. It's not the apostle title. Because we're all called with the mission. But the preacher is someone that God has selected to speak a word into your life, into this house.
Right.
You ought to take that word and share it with someone outside this house.
Yeah. Yeah.
When God touches you, he touches you for you to touch someone.
And
when God pours into you, he pours into you for you to pour out into someone else. Not for us to hard up, but we ought to take the word of God and be willing to share. Our desire is that everyone be saved.
Yeah.
Again, I say, we don't get to pick and choose who God bring into salvation.
Yeah.
I desire that all men should be saved.
Yeah.
That was the heart of God.
Yeah.
And if we're God's children, we're supposed to have the heart of God.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have that heart of compassion,
yeah,
that heart of love, that heart of mercy,
yeah,
that heart of forgiveness.
Yeah.
We're supposed to show God.
Yeah.
We should be living in such a way that when the world see us, that they would see Jesus. Paul said in Romans 1:1, he said, I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now he understood his first calling was that of a servant.
All right.
One that was called to live holy.
Yeah.
One that was called to live saved.
Yeah.
A lot of us say we saved.
Yeah.
It's not a calling to declare our salvation. Because the proof is in the pudding. We're called to live saved. That should be a difference in the way I live and the way the world lives. That should be a difference in the way I talk and the way the world talks. Paul first knew that his first calling was to live saved. He said, I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called, selected, to be an apostle.
Well,
an apostle is a sent one. One that is sent.
Yeah.
So he was called. He knew he was called to be sent.
Yeah.
He goes on in Galatians and he says that when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb.
Right.
Now, even at birth, I had already been set apart. Even though I wasn't living like God expected me to live. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I may preach him among the Gentiles. Paul, see, Jesus had to reveal himself to Paul. But once Paul got the truth, Paul was no longer the same. You know, one day Paul was persecuting Christians.
Right.
The next day, Paul was in the synagogue preaching Jesus as the Son of God.
Right.
See, when the Word of God touches you, the Word of God changes you.
Yeah.
When you receive the Word of God, you're no longer the same. God, you can't be the same.
Right.
And that's why we have to allow the Word of God to work in our lives.
Amen.
He said that, but when it pleased him to separate me from my mother's womb, and revealed his son in me, that I may go out and teach others.
Yeah.
That I may go out and share what God has shown me. That's what he was called to do. He told me he would be a bear his name before before the Gentiles, before kings and for the children of Israel. That was Paul understood that was his calling. That he had to share.
Yeah.
He had to be found doing. He was just as zealous when God called him to the truth, when he understood the truth, he began to live in the truth. We've got to accept the word of God as the truth. Why? Because the Bible, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. We understand Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That the word of God is the only truth. And that is what the Christianity is established upon, upon the word of God. And we have to be found living the truth. He said that Paul knew that through the hearing, believing, and accepting of the gospel message, that salvation would be gained. That the salvation was available to all that called upon the name of the Lord. That is why he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To all that believe, to the Jew first, also unto the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. For the just shall live by faith. The gospel is all about Jesus.
All right.
There is no other name, Peter said, under heaven called among men, by which we must be saved. Ephesians 1:13 declares, it is the gospel of our salvation, that through faith and acceptance of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the preaching of the gospel, simple, it's just preaching Jesus. The one that was selected before the foundation of the world to pay the price to redeem mankind, chosen because he was the only one who could fulfill the requirements of the sin offering. The only one without spot or blemish. The Bible says that even before Adam sinned, that God had already made provision, already instituted a plan to restore his creation back to right standing. Because before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. Galatians 4:4 say that in the fullness of time, in God's appointed time, that God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem those who are under the law, that they may receive the adoption as sons, to change us from being aliens of the commonwealth, to change us from being strangers, to change us from being enemies of God, but to bring us back into the royal family, to bring us back into sonship with God, that we're no longer aliens. We don't have to be that. We can now be friends of God. We can now be sons of God. If we just choose to heed the word of God. Jesus said himself in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me. Hear that word again.
Sent.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captive, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Right.
He has sent me to preach good tidings, to send me to preach good news. He has sent me to heal, deliver, and set free. That was his mission. Not only was he selected for a mission that only he could carry out, but he was sent with a message, the word of God. But not only was he sent with a message, he was not only the messenger, but he was also the message. Because the Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John 5:7 say, and there's three that bear witness in heaven, the Word, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Revelation 19:3 says, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. When he came to earth, he was Jesus, but in heaven he's still the Word of God. He was from the beginning, and Revelation said he is in the end, that he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That there is no changing in the Word of God. He was the Word then, and he is the Word now. Psalm 107 saying, I'll send my word and heal them and deliver them from their destruction. John 1:14 say, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When we receive the life-changing incarnate word, we receive Jesus. John said that he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe upon his name. If we make a decision, we have to receive the word of God. We have to receive Jesus in order to be saved. But not only do we have to receive the incarnate, we have to hear the preach and the taught word of God.
Right,
because the Bible teaches me that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
But James told me that faith without works is dead.
Yes.
Because it's not the hearer of the word, it's the doer of the word that is justified before God. That's why that the word that we live is the word that glorifies God. The word that we live is the word that exalts Jesus. The word that we live is the word that lifts him up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So we live according to the word of God, that we may draw others, that others may receive salvation.
Yes.
Pastor, God bless you, sir. On this your day, be encouraged. No matter what's going on, understand that if God calls you, that if he sent you, that you need to continue in the service of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Preach the word.
Yes.
Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove.
Yes,
rebuke.
Yes,
exhort with all long-suffering and God.
Yes,
understanding that it was God that called and God that sent you.
Yes.
You can't please everyone.
Yes.
But if your ways please God,
yes,
if you're doing it the way he instructed, he will even make your enemies be at peace with you. Paul said at one time, he said that at my first answer, no man stood with me.
Well,
he said, notwithstanding, but God stood with me. And strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known. That all the Gentiles might know, might hear.
Yeah.
When you stand for righteousness, you stand for Jesus.
Yeah.
And when you stand for Jesus, God stands with you.
Yeah.
The Bible says, endure afflictions.
Yeah.
Do the work of evangelism. Make foolproof your ministry.
Yeah.
And God who selected you.
Yeah.
And God who sent you.
Yeah.
God will be pleased in all that you do. Bethlehem, I love you. Again, I say, take the gift that God has called, has given to you. Cherish this gift. But make things as easy as you can. Yeah, you don't have to always disagree, but the Bible says, God, one thing God hates is when someone that stirs up discord among your brothers. In Romans 10 and 1, when Paul said that they had a zeal of God but not according to knowledge, Paul knew what they were talking about because he had that same zeal at one time. Paul was living out the tradition of what he had been taught. Let me explain it. I know how it is. Sometimes what you've been taught in the past may not be the right thing. But when Paul understood the truth, Paul got rid of the bad and stuck with the truth. Everything that we were taught here wasn't always right. Maybe that was just a lack of knowledge. Maybe God hadn't given revelation. But everything that was taught wasn't right. So when God does bring revelation, when God gives you truth, go ahead and discord. Hit delete on that stuff that you know is not pleasing to God. And move forward in the Lord. The pastor said he's wanting a new church. The pastor said, but the Bible said told me that when they were all on one accord in the upper room, that God stepped in and did a mighty work. It tells you in Chronicles that when they were all on one accord, that the trial of God came into the building. Where the priest cannot even stand the minister by reading of the cross. Well, God wants unity. And when you get united in the things of God, step back and watch God work on your behalf. Bethlehem, on this day that you have set aside to honor your pastor, continue to be all that God has called you to be. You've been strong for this long. Don't allow nothing to draw you away. Don't allow nothing to bewitch you right now. Continue to follow the man of God that God has placed in your midst. Continue to encourage. Continue to support. No matter if you agree with it or not. If God sent it by him, you need to be fine doing it. Because the Bible says that trust in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophet, and so shall you prosper. If you want that building, you need to be hearing from the man of God. God bless you.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem again. We're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. Thank you for and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor praise Mike Lee Tom, the senior Lord. Pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in an economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, If God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-arts build, a reality, because you've taken time to give 25, 50, 10, 100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Bethlehem.